book of John, chapter 13 tonight. The book of John, chapter 13, is on my heart very heavily. And when you found your place, I'll ask if you will stand with me in the reverence of the reading of God's holy word. John chapter number 13, I want to begin reading in the very first verse, John 13 verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. It's John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. I want to build off of verses 4 and 5, the phrase where Jesus took a towel. Father, would you help us tonight to preach the word of God? Would you help us by the power of the Spirit? Lord, I do not have in my flesh the ability, but Father, I pray you'd cleanse me of sin and of self. And Father, you'd fill me with your Spirit, with your power, and help us, God, to preach in the power thereof. And Lord, I thank you that you've allowed us tonight to meet and to gather together. And Lord, I pray you'd open your word, the treasures thereof, and speak to our hearts. And help us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, I brought with me a towel. Did you bring yours? You have a towel? That would be a good question. Preacher Darren, I didn't know I was supposed to bring one. Well, are you willing to take the towel? I like this towel right here. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And the towel, it is a picture of our duty, and it's a picture of our ministry to others. I do want to say that I believe a large number of people in this church have a towel. I believe that you are engaged and active in ministering and working and serving other people in our community and throughout this church, and I'm thankful for that. And as I look into this portion of God's word, it is imperative that if we're going to understand this passage, we're going to have to take the towel and get involved in the ministry the Lord's called us to. The word towel is only in the Word of God two times, found in the text passage that I just read, John chapter 13, verse 4, and again verse 5. I didn't know that until I started studying for this message. I thought it might be in there other places, and it wasn't. These are the only two places the word towel occur. I believe, number one, it is an exhibition of service. Jesus could have taught on it. Jesus could have instructed others to do it, but he decided to perform it, to demonstrate it himself, to give us an exhibition of service. That means he's going to demonstrate before the disciples and before all of us just exactly what it really means to serve, what it really means to minister. Now think with me what the Bible says in verse 4. The Bible says he riseth from supper. What does that mean? He just got up from the table. Realize there's the feast of the Passover, that is just before, and he's having supper there, probably the last supper he's going to be having with his disciples, and he's enjoying the fellowship. He's enjoying the atmosphere. He's maybe refreshed himself, and I see just under this heading of the exhibition of service, I see that he's leaving the refreshment. He's leaving the relaxation. He riseth up from the supper. This is hours before Gethsemane. This is hours before he goes to where Gethsemane, where his sweat turns to great drops of blood. it's hours before he goes to Gabbatha, where they're going to beat him and beat him and beat him until the blood is flowing off his back and off his brow, until his flesh hangs like ribbons, and before he goes to the place called Golgotha, which is the place of the cross. This is the last time that he's going to sit with his disciples on that side of Calvary. And don't you know, he loved to be with his disciples. He loved to sit with them. He loved to refresh himself. He loved to just sit down and relax. I know at our house, we'll have a meal. The family works hard to present the meal. Then when we eat, we just kind of kick it around the table. We're sitting there enjoying one another's company, one another's presence. We're having a good time there. Jesus has risen from the pillowed seat. Jesus has risen from the pleasure of the supper, and he's going to serve. He's going to labor. He's going to minister. The words of the song, one more time. There is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on the table, and no one is turned away. There's singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to sit around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. Push away from the table. Look through the window pane. Just beyond this house of plenty lies a field of golden grain, and it's ripened unto harvest. But the reapers, where are they? In the house? Oh, count the children. Hear the Father sadly say, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. Here is Jesus at a time of refreshment and a time of relaxation at the table with his disciples for the very last time. And the Bible says he riseth up from that supper. He's leaving the napkin, and he's leaving the plate and the knife and the fork and the food. And he picks up a towel, and he's getting ready to labor, getting ready to minister, getting ready to serve. Now, we Baptists have a reputation. It's not fasting, it's feasting. We have a reputation of fellowship over good chicken dinners. Amen. But unto God, would to be to the Lord, that we'd have a reputation for the towel, which is to minister, which is to care, which is to serve. Not only did he leave the refreshment of the table, but the Bible says in verse number 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments. What does that mean? He laid aside his robe. He had an outer robe, if you will. Like I have an outer jacket. To take the jacket off, I'll do so. You take the jacket off, he's getting ready to go to work. Preacher Darren, what's the significance of that? Why? What does that mean? Taking off that outer layer of clothing. What does that mean? Well, hear me. There's just some things when you're at the house of God, when you're working for the Lord, there's just some things you can't do in your church clothes. It's time to put off your go-to-meeting clothes and put on your go-to-minister clothes. Amen? There's some of us, you have things that you cannot do in your Sunday slippers. You got to put on your work boots. You got to get out in the community. You got to work and you got to serve. And the church is the same thing. Not every day do you just get to stand in a pulpit and declare the truths of the Word of God. Jesus is teaching us servant leadership as he lays aside his robe. Look with me now. The Bible says he took a towel and he girded himself. Some people say that that means he wrapped it all the way around him. Maybe had a little hook on the side that he put that into, but he's girded himself with that towel. What's he doing? He is lowering his reputation. Most of the time you would have someone at your house, maybe a servant, and when people come, the honored guests come, you would take the water and you would pour over their feet and you would wash their feet. You see, it's funny, the feet
They didn't have socks. The feet are the ones that's getting stained by the dust, and the sandals are getting stained by the world. Your feet come in more contact with the world than anything else does. And so when you come to someone's house, the first thing they'd do is they'd greet you with a holy kiss. They'd wash your feet to welcome you into the home. And Jesus is lowering his reputation as he rises from the table, as he takes off his outer robe and he lowers his reputation. I'm thinking, the Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He is the Son of God, and he's lowering his reputation to serve us, to welcome us. He is the Son of God, and he lowered his reputation and was fashioned as a man, yet without sin, that he might die on a cross in our place, that we might be saved. Thank God. Verse 5, the Bible says, after that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. He humbled himself. He's girded himself. He humbled himself, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Now, I know some of y'all are worried, oh boy, which one of us is he going to pick to get up here and pull our shoes off, and he's going to wash their feet? Don't worry about that tonight. That's not an ordinance of the church. There's only two ordinances. It's baptism and the Lord's Supper. This is not an ordinance of the church. But I want you to think with me for just a second now. He's humbling himself, and he's teaching us about service. Number two, he gives us an explanation of service. And I'm not going to take time to read verses 6 through 12 necessarily, but in verse number 9, Simon Peter said to him, he said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He sensed the pride in that. Don't just wash my feet, Lord. Wash me all over. Wash my head. Wash my hands. I need to be saved again. No, you don't, amen. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But now when I look at this, Jesus is going to be doing something. I think about verse 12. So after he washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you. Do you get it? Do you know what I've done to you? Now, all over this chapter, Jesus is always knowing what they didn't know. In fact, he forever will know what we don't know. Well, look again at verse number 1. When Jesus knew that his hour was come. Now we speak again about that hour. That hour is referred to a number of times, and he would say to his mother and say to others, mine hour is not yet come, mine hour is not yet come. That is the season, the time, the purpose, the plan of God, when Jesus would start the battle for all ages and be taken to the cross where he would give his life. But here he's saying that he knew that his hour was now come. And the Bible says in verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. So when Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Verse 10, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Why? Jesus knew that one of his hand-picked disciples was going to betray him. Now, his disciples didn't know it, but Jesus knew just exactly what he was going to do. The Bible says in verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered in unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Look at verse 28. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. When Jesus said, what you do, do it quickly. Nobody there got it. You see, Jesus knew what nobody else knew. And I want to tell you something tonight. He knows what nobody else knows tonight in this service. I think about verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and that he went to God. Jesus knew all these things. Well, go back with me. Go back with me. Help me, Lord. Here we go. When Lazarus died, and Jesus was 4 days late, and when he got there, the Bible says in verse 33, John 11, verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was what? He was troubled. Jesus was troubled. So much so that verse 35 says that Jesus wept. Jesus was troubled. Why was he troubled? First of all, because of their unbelief. Second of all, because he knew he was going to have to pull Lazarus back from paradise and raise him again. He knew that's breaking his heart. Breaking his heart at the unbelief in the crowd. Jesus was troubled. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 27. John 12, 27. And Jesus knows what we don't know. Verse 27. What did he say? Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Two times we see that Jesus was troubled. And we come to John chapter 13. In our reading tonight, in our passage about Jesus taking the towel, girding himself, going to wash the disciples' feet. And Simon Peter said, no, not my feet only, but my hands and my head, Lord. Wash that. And he said, no, just your feet. You're clean in every whit, but not all of you are clean, because he knew Judas was not clean. Don't tell me Judas got saved. He did not get saved. He betrayed the Lord, and he went to his own place. It's what the scripture says, and Jesus is troubled. Look with me in verse 21, John 13, verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled. There's the third time. Jesus is troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Jesus was troubled, troubled, troubled. Then the other disciples, looking one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And then he said, lying on Jesus' breast, Lord, who is it? Jesus said, it's the one that I gave, the sop, S-O-P, son of perdition. The sop is given to the most honored guest, the most distinguished friend that is there. Jesus gave him every opportunity. But the Bible says that Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. And Jesus said, verse 27, that thou doest, do it quickly. And no man at the table, nobody even got it, that there was a counterfeit, that there was an imposter, that there was one betraying their Lord. They didn't even get it. Hold on, think of with me now. Verse 6. Verse 6. We're talking about the explanation of service. Verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? I mean, this is a servant's job. You're the master. Are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Amen. So it's not the ritual, it's the spiritual. He said, Simon Peter, just as you didn't know who was going to betray me, and I even identified him and you still didn't get it, one of these days you're going to understand why I'm washing your feet, why I'm teaching you this. It is not for an ordinance of the church. It's for every one of us to take the towel, to drop whatever pride that we have to take and to drop the towel and to get active and get engaged and serving and helping and encouraging and finding someone to lift their load and to be a blessing to them. That's what the Lord wants you to do. And he wants to humble you down to do so. You may say, Preacher Darren, this is beneath me. Perfect. You're just the man for the job. That's exactly what he wants you to do. Now, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. Do you get it? He's trying to teach them about serving. Think with me. For 3.5 years, these men have witnessed great miracles. Dead people alive. Deaf people hearing. Blind people seeing. Miracle after miracle after miracle. They've heard the greatest preaching and the greatest messages that could have ever been preached, and they've heard it all. And yet they still didn't get it. He is trying to lay, you know what they didn't get? They didn't get serving. They didn't get serving one another. Listen to them as they argue. Master, let me sit on your left, let me sit on your right. Which one of us is going to be greater? Listen to them. And it goes on in modern day society in which we live. It's not about that. Jesus is trying to say, hey, fellas, you're not getting it. You need to be involved in ministering and humbling yourself before others. Turn back with me to the book of Luke. Help me, Jesus. The book of Luke, chapter number 7, I believe it is. Luke chapter 7. There was a woman there that was a sinner, and he had come to the Pharisee's house, and she stood at his feet. The Bible says in verse 38, behind him weeping, she began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And the Pharisee, he stood there and he said, oh, if this man was a prophet, and he would have known who or what manner of woman that is that's touching him, for she is a sinner. Verse 40, Jesus said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And let's skip all the way down to verse 44. He said, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them, I'm gonna get tore up, with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Woo! She didn't wash his feet with a towel. She didn't wash his feet with water. She washed his feet with her tears. She took that $100, $150 haircut. She let her hair down and wiped his feet with her hair. And she worshiped him. And she thanked him. And he looked at her and he said, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him, probably his disciples, other Pharisees, said within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Watch this, verse 50. I love verse 50. And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Amen. But he adds something here that I love. Look what he says. Go in peace. You know what that means? Sometimes, well, I hadn't studied this, but sometimes we're so guilty of sin and he forgives us and he says your faith has saved you. I want you to know your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. But guilt comes back. And we start remembering what we've done and what we said and how we acted. And it starts attacking us and the flesh attacks us and the devil attacks us. And the Lord added that phrase, go in peace. Hey, man, I can go in peace. Amen. Go in peace because the Master has forgiven me. Well, back to our text. Preacher, why'd you tie that in? Here's why. Those disciples were with Jesus when he gave Simon the Pharisee and all those there that lesson. That when I got here, you gave me no kiss. When I got here, you did not wash my feet. You did not welcome me. You did not honor me. But I'm here anyway. And this sinner woman, she recognized who I was. And she began to worship and adore me from the time I entered into this place. And what he's teaching them is, boys, you got to learn to worship. And you got to learn to serve. And here they are in John 13. And they've come up there to where Jesus is. And my Bible tells me that right before the feast of the Passover, these boys just walk in the house. They did not kiss Jesus. They did not wash his feet. They gave him no welcome, just like you do at your house, and just like you've done here tonight. You just come in and just plop down and say, here I am. Bless me now, Lord, because I'm here. God help us. It ought to be a privilege that we get to enter into the courts of the Lord and come in with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise. We ought to kiss his feet. We ought to anoint his head. We ought to be worshiping him. But instead we say, Lord, go ahead, wash my feet. Take care of all my sin. You see, these boys, they just don't get serving. And sometimes we don't get it, and we don't get worship either. We just plop down any old way, and we just totally miss out on what the Lord is doing. Let me say this. I believe with all my heart, Jesus knew what they didn't know. And Jesus, he cared for them. And what meant more to them was not what he knew, but how he cared. Nobody cares really how much you know. But they want to know how much you care. I spend a lot of time studying. I mean a lot. I feel guilty almost every waking hour if I'm not in my study. My children, my wife will tell you I'm in my study just about always. But you know what? I was studying and I found at least 10 verses to every one that it's more important to serve than it is to study. I had rather have a compassionate dummy preach to me than an uncompassionate genius. You need someone that cares, and his name is Jesus. And you and I, we, being his disciples, need to learn how to care one for another and to minister. Well, Preacher Darren, you're going to wash somebody's... Listen, it's more than just washing their feet. It's caring for them, loving them, ministering to them. Amen? Well, I'm almost done. Thirdly, there's an expectation of service. Verse 13, Jesus said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. It's how he served. It's how he ministered. It's how he came to clean up the mess. Boy, I tell you what, you'd do well if you'd learn, and I'd learn to start being a blessing. He's presenting to us a picture. He's setting the type. He's helped showing how to lift a load. He's showing how to help somebody else. Here's the problem. You're waiting for someone else to serve. And it may or may not ever get done. And you're the someone else that the Lord is looking for. I close with this. I thought about this towel. Here I brought it in. It sure is pretty, ain't it? That's a beautiful towel. For with God, Nothing shall be impossible. Do you notice something about it? It's white, yeah. It's got red on it. Did you notice anything about it? It's not been used. It's a brand new towel, and it's dry. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have a towel? You do. God's given you a towel to serve, to worship, and to minister. And worship first, then serve, then minister. And when you're serving, your towel may get dirty. That's a good thing. When you're serving, your towel, it'll need to get wet. Is your towel dry or is it wet? Is your towel clean or is it dirty? My grandpa, we went into the barn. You know, I have OCD really bad. All the folks that work at Bethel Christian Academy, they know it. I just have to have symmetry. What's on the left has to match what's on the right. The I has to be dotted. The T has to be crossed. Oh, you're just a perfectionist. Not really. I just have OCD that creates that perfectionist ego that I seem to have. But here's the thing. When I think about that, I want everything to be done decently and in order. And it drives me crazy when it's not, y'all. Drives me crazy when it's not. And I believe with all my heart, the Lord is calling this church. You have the month of December, which is the busiest month of your life. But he's asking you to get involved in helping someone. I want to ask you a question. Who have you helped today? Whose load have you lifted? Who have you encouraged? Who have you been a blessing to? Oh my. I get back to thinking. Look at verse 17. I'm done right here. Verse 17. If you know, Jesus knows what we don't know. But he said, Peter, you don't know it now, but one day you will. You don't understand how important service is, but one day you will. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. It's more than just knowing it. It's doing it. The Pharisees knew it. They knew this. But it's more than just knowing it. It's doing it. I'm asking you to stand to your feet. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you'd help us. God, it's time for us to take the towel. It's time for us to surrender ourselves, to commit ourselves to service. It's time to do what you ask us to do. Father, it's time to do things decently and in order. It's time not to let the Father's house go so that everything else can be taken care of. Father, we need to put you first. We need to worship. We need to serve. We need to be a blessing. God, we need to study, but we need to serve. God, when I stand before you, Lord, I'm not going to be judged for what I know. I'm going to be judged for what I do. God, we need to think about that. Would you forgive us, Lord, of our inactivity and help us, God, to be engaged in business for the cause of Christ? We ask your blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you're watching at home, we appreciate you tuning in. What about that? With Calvary looming over Jesus, he took a towel. Knowing he's going to die, he took a towel. You may say, oh, Pastor Darren, I'm too busy. I got this. He's getting ready to die. And yet, he took a towel to be a blessing to others in his life. That's a tremendous passage to me.